Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe.
Jambo, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Radio Harambe. I am here with the lovely Christina. Say hello, Christina.
Hello.
And we are going to do a special listener questions episode. I was on various social medias asking if anybody out there has any Animal Kingdom or Animal Kingdom Lodge questions. And as usual, you guys came through. I got nearly 30 questions. So we are going to break it down into two different shows, and we'll do about half of them today. And then on our next episode, we'll finish it up. So if you don't hear your question today, don't worry. It'll be here in a couple of weeks. But before we get started on our listener questions, I want to bring everybody's attention to our TeePublic store. Yeah, I know you've heard it many times from me about our TeePublic store and on social media. So go to our social media accounts. Those are on X, it's at JohnBoverOne. On Instagram, it's Safari_Mike or Disney's Animal Kingdom. Or here on the show notes for this show and various other shows, you'll get the link to our TeePublic store. And you'll be able to look at all of the cool designs, mostly done by Christina seated to my left, including things like, oh, Tiger River Run, which is a very obscure thing for those who have a lot of knowledge about Disney's Animal Kingdom. You'll know what that is. Countdown to Extinction. For the fans who have, you know, of Disney's Animal Kingdom from back into the late 90s, you'll know what that is. Things like that. And more, you know, recognizable things like the Dawa Bar and the Nomad Lounge and Kidani Village and things like that. So
I gotta say, I've seen an uptick in Countdown to Extinction, and I wonder if it has to do with the announcement that they're getting rid of Dinosaur Land.
It could be. We did get a couple of Disney's Countdown to Extinctions. And what's the other Dino Land one that we had out there?
We have the one that's the road sign.
Oh, that's right. That's right. What I haven't seen that one getting purchased. Route 60, 98. What is it? It's 498, which is April 1998.
The dinosaurs in the convertible.
Right.
That's the sign when you first enter.
So go check that out. And if you do, you will be able to purchase t-shirts, hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs with those designs. And know that we don't make any money off of it. Every single penny we make goes to conservation. We recently donated to the Dholes, which is an endangered Asian canine, wild canine species. And we are now going to the World Land Trust, where we are going to be donating money to help protect and save the, I guess, endangered at this point habitat of the mountain forests of Colombia, which for people who have been listening to the show, and especially the Planet Watches that I do, you know, we've talked about how Disney might be replacing Dino Land, and there's actually going to be a question a little bit about that later, with a kind of Northern South America kind of idea, which would encompass the cloud forests, the mist forests of Colombia. So go check those out. Buy things. And know that you'll be helping raise money for...
And I think a little plug, if you want to learn more about the cloud forest, you did a specific Planet Watch about the cloud forest.
I did, yeah.
Which was really interesting. I didn't know.
Probably about four or five episodes now ago.
I'm,
you can find it.
Yeah.
It's easy enough.
All right.
All right. So we are going to delve into the questions. And I'm going to start off with a few. Whatever it is. Anyway. So the first question is from Melissa Karras. And it is, will there be more seasons of Disney's the Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom? For those of you who don't know, and I can't imagine there aren't many of you out there, on Disney Plus there has been two seasons of kind of behind the scenes of, you know, the keepers and other people who make Disney's Animal Kingdom, as well as the Living Seas, and some other parts of Disney World that deals with wild animals. And there have been two seasons. They have not yet announced a third. They have not made it official. However, I can tell you that the numbers for the show are actually pretty good. It does well in terms of subscriber views, as well as it does well in ratings on like IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes and that kind of thing. So I suspect there'll probably be a third season somewhere along the way. However, it is not yet official. That's that. Second question is from Ruby Beth, and that is, when is the Tree of Life show coming back? Now, the Tree of Life show, I'm assuming we are talking about Tree of Life Awakenings. I mean, obviously,
yes.
The bugs thing underneath the Tree of Life has never gone away, so I'm assuming we're talking about the Tree of Life Awakenings. And the problem with Tree of Life Awakenings is, since the pandemic, Disney has not kept Disney's Animal Kingdom open super late. It usually ceases operations at around 7 o'clock or so. In the summer, it's still light out when Disney's Animal Kingdom ends. So the Tree of Life Awakening show was not going on. Since Daylight Savings Time has flipped in late November, right? November or early November, it's been back. They will play it in the evening because it's dark now at 5 o'clock at night, and the park's still open for, especially during the holidays, when the park is open even later because of how crowded it is. So we will see what happens as the years go on and as the clocks switch back and it's stays light out later. Don't know if Disney's planning on keeping Disney's Animal Kingdom open after dark for the summer. They spent all that time and all that energy and all that money to make Disney's Animal Kingdom a nighttime park.
It's a shame because the Pandora really is just spectacular at night.
Yes.
I mean, it's beautiful during the daytime, but I mean, at night it's really something else. And they put so much work into making that a nighttime attraction.
So for those of you who are summer visitors, over the last couple of years and haven't gotten to see Pandora at night, it really is unlike other places. I mean, other lands have a different vibe at night, I guess, mm-hmm. World Showcase Pavilions and Adventureland and things like that. But Pandora, more than I think any other land, completely changes between day and night. It's like a completely different place. So hopefully that'll come back. But the answer to the question is the Tree of Life show is currently going, and hopefully they will keep it going. Two Wheels Ryan asked, will DeMauro, meaning the guy in charge of the parks, bring back Rhodey as a consultant for the proposed South America expansion? Short answer is no. Rhodey, I think, is done with... I can tell you the last time I interviewed him for the show, he basically said, yeah, I could talk about the park now, I'm done. So I'm assuming he is retired for good. So I haven't heard anything that they were going to bring him back, and I doubt they would. So the answer to that is no. Now, some questions from Instagram. And I know a big fan of the show, Jeremy Hunt, had some show ideas, and I want to run them by you, see what you think.
Okay.
Number one is he asked if we would do a walkthrough, giving kind of like the background story of Harambe and Anandapur. The answer to that is they've already been done many, many moons ago. And I was talking to Christina about this before the show starts. I think we should put them back out on the site and republish them as another episode. I still have them, so that we can republish that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think people like that kind of stuff. So I think republishing it might not be a bad idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. I don't know if people know I took over editing, so. That's an easy, okay, if you have it already done.
Yes, it is easy. That's true.
No problem.
He also said we should do an episode or episodes specifically about Animal Kingdom eateries. And he did send me this question before the last episode of Radio Harambe came out. And for those of you who did not listen, It was a spotlight on the Nomad Lounge. Yeah. So we did do a specific show about, you know, the food and, you know, what were our thoughts of.
Great minds think alike, Jeremy.
Yes, exactly.
That was our idea, first of several. We just wanted to kick it off with one of our faves.
And so. Christina's being nice when she says our idea. It was her idea. So she's giving me partial credit when I deserve none. We will be doing future ones of those. I know we'll probably do Satouli Canteen in the not-too-distant future. And I don't know, maybe Jiko, because we both ate there recently. That might be a pretty good one to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So we will do.
I mean, we should revisit a lot of the eateries we haven't been to recently, too, on future trips.
Oh, you mean go eat there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
I keep hearing that the barbecue place isn't as good as it used to be.
It is not.
But with Nomad Lounge and Satouli there, I honestly haven't been in years, not because of the quality, just because they're such a draw to me.
I was there not the last time I was in Disney World, but the time before that. Mm. Flame Tree.
Yes.
Flame Tree is a great place to eat in terms of
location,
yeah. The seating, the theme, and all that kind of stuff. So it's actually a really good one to talk about on a spotlight show. But the food has kind of, it's not terrible by any means. It's fine. It's barbecue chicken, whatever, pulled pork, whatever. But it has taken a step back. It's not as good as it used to be. So, and that would also be interesting maybe to talk about on the show.
I mean, my thought is too, is it that it's not as good as it used to be, or have they really just upped everything else in the park?
Right.
So now it just doesn't seem that way.
No, I think it's not as good as it used to be.
I was trying to give him one.
I hear you. The other one he had, other show idea he had, and that was spending a day at Disney's Animal Kingdom without doing a single attraction. And I kind of like that idea. I think I might do that, you know? Not a fan?
As far as a show idea?
Yeah.
No, we absolutely could.
I think
of all the parks, maybe Epcot.
Yeah,
you could do that in Epcot, but I mean, by not a single attraction. Jeremy, I need a clarifier on this.
This is exactly what I was going to say.
Is that no rides? Or is that none of like the animal trails and stuff? Because it really lends itself. You could spend all day doing the animal trails.
I think for the purposes of this, the Jungle Trek and the Gorilla Forest Trail would not count as attractions.
Okay.
But shows and movies would. So
Jeremy, give us the clarifier on that.
Festival of the Lion King would count as an attraction.
I mean, back when they had more entertainment in Harambe, I think you and I spent half a day just watching the acrobats, then dancing to Birdika.
And even seeing the Tam Tam in the morning. We didn't that particular day, but that's something you could easily do.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely more to do. So just give us that clarifier, Jeremy.
And he will, by the way. And he also asked, and this is an interesting one, I love to hear some thoughts on enjoying the park as a botanical garden. Now that kind of blends in with the one before that in terms of spending the day, because you could spend the day or spend part of the no attraction day enjoying the park as a botanical garden. There are some terrific spots to enjoy botanical gardens. The two that immediately pop to mind are the Oasis, which has all sorts of interesting plant life, and the Cretaceous Trail, which has plants from back from the dinosaur area. I have done previous episode on landscaping of Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think that one was a two-parter too, if my memory serves. It was one of those ones that I spent quite a bit researching. So I suggest you search that one up. I forgot to look for the show number for that, but maybe I'll dig it up and I'll tweet it out there.
I like that idea from him because although it's not, you know, as showcased as much as the animals at Animal Kingdom, they did put in an equal amount of work into the plant life. And I'm a gardener. I love gardens. Mm-hmm. So it really is a lot of unique plant life that fits for whichever area you're in.
And absolutely.
The animals would be around. So it could totally be seen as a botanical trip.
There's also, for those of you who go back to our Christmas shopping episode, I brought up the field guide to Disney's Animal Kingdom, yes, which you could find on eBay and all that kind of stuff. And they actually spend quite a bit of it talking about the various plants that are at Disney's Animal. Now, this is from 1998. It was, you know, all of Asia opening up, certainly before Pandora and, you know, that kind of things. But this, you know, a lot of it still applies. So you could check that book out. You could get it relatively inexpensively on eBay. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. So, so I think it's a great botanical garden. In fact, I think I've even said on our shows where we're, our wish list to actually have a botanical garden over by Rafiki's Planet Watch as part of Rafiki's. But anyway, his last question is, and this is a easy one to hit out of the park. And that is, the question is, what advice would you give a casual theme park goer about how to approach Disney's Animal Kingdom versus Magic Kingdom? That's an easy one. The Magic Kingdom, I refer to it as the, and so is Disney's Hollywood Studios to a degree, is the unofficial guide approach to theme park going. And that is to really fully appreciate the park, you gotta have a plan. Step one, go here. Step go two there. Step three, step four, step five. And so, you know, they have a real specific step-by-step approach to that park. Disney's Animal Kingdom, I think, is more like Epcot in that, you know, there's certain things you want to make sure you get out of the way right away before the crowds build and all that kind of stuff. But it is a much better park to just sort of see what happens. Walk around, enjoy this, enjoy that, enjoy the entertainment. Like you said, there's shows, there's animal trails, there's botanical gardens type stuff. It's a much better park. There's, you know, street entertainment even today, even without Bordica, there is. It's a much better park to just sort of sit back and take in. What do you think about that one?
I guess I don't like the approach of having to rush around to make sure you get a lot of attractions in.
Okay.
I've never liked that approach. That's just being a Disneyland person. I am a Disney World person. I am. But
you worked there.
I did work there. Right? Yeah, I don't bring that up. But you know, I like the approach at Disneyland. It's way more laid back, much like you're describing Animal Kingdom.
Right.
But I think the difference for me is you are not going to get everything you want to see done at Magic Kingdom.
No. No.
But you could potentially get everything you want to, sure, plus some, because there's so much streetmosphere that you didn't plan in going on at Animal Kingdom.
100%.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom is almost overwhelming in the amount of options.
And oddly enough, it doesn't have nearly the same number of attractions as Disneyland. I think that
that
helps Disneyland in terms of being more of a, you know, just you can go there and see what happens, well, because there's so many things to do that does nothing gets overly.
I've never had the lines be as bad,
right?
They're different. So
they are different.
And you're definitely not working around ADRs and things like that.
No.
I mean, it's just an entirely different approach. But for me, I don't like to have to go in with a plan. I just like to do what I feel like doing,
right,
in the moment. And Animal Kingdom definitely lends itself out to that.
Certainly it's much more so than Magic
much
Kingdom.
Much less stress.
100%.
But you would approach it, if you're going to Magic Kingdom, just make sure you really know your priority rides.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's why Magic Kingdom is probably my least favorite of the Disney World parks, to be honest. And it has nothing to do with the rides and stuff. It has to do with it's just too crowded and too, I don't know. You stress out. I'm not a fan.
I
love Magic Kingdom, don't get me wrong, but as compared to the other ones, I would much rather spend the day at any of the other three parks.
That's why for Magic Kingdom, I tend to just pay for, like, the Christmas party.
Yeah, you could do that.
Or anything that will give me, like, the lower crowds.
Yeah.
And it's much less stressful. So instead of paying for a full day, I'll go in during Christmas party. Although I heard this year, it was just as crowded as during the normal day. So that may not be a trick anymore.
They're selling more and more tickets because they can. Not quite becoming, it's not as valuable as it used to be. All right, let's move on to some questions from Twitter. Dean ADM asked, I would love to know some socials to follow to keep up with animals. The first one that came to my mind for Disney Animal Kingdom fan is Dr. Mark. He is in charge of the animals at Disney's Animal Kingdom. He posts a lot, and you learn stuff from him. And it's actually a pretty good social media account. You had some good ones.
Is his account Dr. Mark? What is his account?
Yeah, that's, I should look it up. I forget exactly what. Hold on one second. It's Dr. Mark at Disney. Dr. Doctor, Mark with a K, at Disney, all one word. So go on Instagram and you'll learn various things like that. I know you had a couple of ones that you brought up before we started.
I absolutely love the San Antonio Zoo.
A lot of zoos have good ones.
And then Point Defiance as well.
Another good one.
Their social media team is fantastic, and they do a very good job both showcasing the animals and then also giving you some education on them as well. And they just do cute little things all the time. It's really entertaining. And then also, if there are... This is going to be a tricky one because it's not uniformed amongst all national parks, but different national parks will showcase their conservation efforts. For example, I was just up at Point Reyes National Seashore, and right now is baby elephant seal season, so they're putting lots of posts up about the elephant seals, which is a big conservation win for the Park Service. So unfortunately, every park has their own social media team, so they're not equal, but there are some really good ones out there that are incredibly witty with their posts and then give you a lot of education and let you know about the conservation efforts going on here in the United States, which is big because this is work that we're putting our taxpayer money into.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of conservation groups out there in the field. Like we recently mentioned this at the beginning of the show, the Dole Conservation, DHOLE, for those people who don't know how it's spelled. They post a lot, and the Painted Dog Conservation, which was a couple of groups ago that we donated to, they're always posting stuff about animals and their work out in the field. So, you can find a few of those like that, but zoos are really good. Like you said, San Antonio, Point Defiance, and there are a few others.
And I'm not sure if they're about their social media, but I did the Snow Leopard Trust 5K years ago.
Yes, the Snow Leopard Trust does do a lot.
And they consistently send me updates on what they're doing in newsletters, and they do really good media packages to keep their supporters informed.
Yeah, they do. They post a lot. You see a lot of stuff about they're finding snow leopards on trap cameras and stuff like that. So it's cool to watch. It's cool to see. And just so you know, all of them actually are much more Instagram than Twitter or Facebook or anything like that.
I think Instagram lends itself well for conservation because they can post all the photos of these animals.
Every day I get videos of the new baby muskox at Point Defiance. It's fantastic. Okay. Cindy on Twitter asked, what animals have been at Animal Kingdom the longest and who are the newest acquired or born? Now, as terms of, I did a show not that long ago about, animals you should know at Disney's Animal Kingdom that went through a couple of the ones that have been there since the park opened. And just to name a couple, Gino, the male gorilla, he was actually there before any visitors were there. I mean, they brought in some of these animals in like 97, months before the park opened, so they can get acclimated to their new exhibit. And before, thousands of people were coming through their exhibit too, they got acclimated to it first so that there wouldn't be the added stress of that. Gino was there. Johnny, a white stork, has been there since the beginning. Mac, the male African elephant, has been there since the beginning. And Sid, who is the rhinoceros iguana that you see in the Oasis, has been there from the beginning. So that's a couple of them that have been there from the beginning. Now, as to newest, That's hard to say. Now, I know Disney has recently announced that the Cotton Top Taverns have had triplets. We were there in June.
Yes.
And they had just had twins.
Yeah, this is a big win.
And then, you know, 6 months later or 5 months later even, they've had triplets now for the Cotton Top Taverns. Highly endangered animals, so it's fantastic. They're part of the Species Survival Program. And there is also a new baby elephant that was born, I think, in December. I mean, it's been only just a month or so. So those are some of them. But I can tell you, and I was, you know, Googling this before we started, that there were over 300 births at Disney World of animals. Now, that sounds like a lot. I mean, some of these we're talking about like fish in the living seas that'll give birth to like quite a few at a time. So, but still, that's a great number. And some of them, some of the highlights are the obviously the Cotton Top Taverns are probably the biggest story of the year. There was a baby duiker that was born in the Gorilla Trail, for example. Penny, she was born, and then the elephant. There was, you know, some others like that. So, 300 have been born, and they got a new tiger as part of the Species Survival Program recently, within this year, I believe. You know, that happens a lot where the new animals are coming in. Disney Dad 9 on Twitter said, "What is the best thing you've eaten at Disney's Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani, quick service, table service, and snack stand?" And before you answer that, I have a question for you.
Obviously, you got to break that down. That's a lot of questions in one.
Wait. Do you think this would be a better show topic?
The best things I've eaten?
Best things you've eaten at Animal Kingdom, Jumbo House, Kidani Village, quick table, and snack stand.
You know, considering we're going to be doing a restaurant series, we'll be bringing up these restaurants in a whole. I think we can answer this right now.
So let's talk about it real quick.
Okay.
Quick service. What's the best thing you've eaten quick service-wise at the parks or the hotel?
I mean, I really love the Satouli bowls.
Okay.
The last time I was there, I got a mix of, I think, the beef and chicken with sweet potatoes and, like, the herb dressing. It was so good.
Yes,
and maybe
like
we were famished because we'd been running around all day. I think that was the day we did Everest, like, five times in a row. But,
It was the day.
Sometimes you're just famished, but I think consistently those bowls are really, really good.
Yes, that's probably the best counter service at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I would probably agree with you with the bowls in terms of the best counter service food I've had at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Table service, I'm going to say, you're going to roll your eyes, but I'm going to say the bread service at Sanaa, I absolutely love. I will also say the short rib at Jiko and the short rib at Tiffin's are both phenomenal. So if you're at either one of those, I recommend those.
I have the short rib at Jiko. I recommend that as well. And I'm a big, big fan of octopus. So if you like octopus, Tiffin's, you can also get it. That's one of the dishes they'll bring over to the Nomad Lounge for you. So I'm a big fan of their octopus.
Snack stand.
This one's harder for me.
I like, there's a ice cream sandwich over in Dinoland. That would probably be my answer.
What?
It's like a ginormous ice cream sandwich over in the Dinoland area.
Well, okay.
That's
a
snack stand.
I'm going to call you on this.
What?
You love the curry corn.
Oh, that's a good one. You corrected me. That is true.
I was going to say, an ice cream sandwich for you, you love that curry corn.
The curry corn.
You love the smell of it when we walk into Harambe.
Yes.
Huge fan of that. And then I don't know if this is quick service or snack stand, but we always have to stop and get you your chili chocolate.
Yes, I was just going to say that. That's a snack stand. It's at the candy place next to Missouri Sweet Shop.
Right by that corn, too.
Yes, right by the corn. Right by the gift shop there, Mombasa. And they sell a dark chocolate. They might have milk too, but I usually like the dark. That has chili pepper in it, like little flakes of chili to give it like spice. And that sweet and spicy combination is quite delectable. So I do like that. You're right. You corrected me. The curry corn, best snack in Disney's Animal Kingdom. You are correct. Did you say a snack, or are you gonna go with the corn?
I don't know that I've actually ever stopped at any of the stands.
You're not a snack person.
No, you know, not when we're in the parks.
I'm No, that's what I mean, when you're in the parks.
Yeah, not when we're in the parks.
Yeah. You're not really into the snack stuff like that. No, that's fine. That's fine.
No, well, you know, mom and me, I always pack tons of snacks, mm-hmm. so we don't, you know, if the kids are hungry.
We don't, lose our shirts for spending $10 on a bag of goldfish.
I should just hear that, but it's true. That's the way I roll in the parks. Like, you know, we're not stopping at all the different stands. We're going through. We'll have, like, a good meal there, but...
Yep.
But that usually just one, and the rest of the day is just full. It's just your day is so full.
It is.
I'm not wasting
it
any
is.
Time.
It is. But maybe we'll cover this on the day without doing any attractions.
But now I feel like I have to come up with I have to try some of the stands. Because there's some interesting ones. I don't see them open as often, but I know there was an edamame stand at one time.
There is, there was. There's the mac and cheese one, which you would have no interest in.
I don't like that. But I've seen some interesting ones in Animal Kingdom, so maybe next time we're there, I'll stop and I'll try it.
Okay. Disney Dad 9 also asked, any changes to Pandora with more movies coming out? That is an interesting question. Obviously, there's nothing planned. There's been no announcements. There's no nothing. I will say there has been some discussion about maybe an Avatar Land coming to California at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to one of the Asian parks. They want to expand. They think Avatar Land and Disney's Animal Kingdom is very popular, so they're going to bring it over. I mean, it makes
Where
sense.
Where would they put it?
The rumors that I have heard is that they're going to build a third theme park in Disneyland in California.
Oh.
Get rid of one of the parking garages, move parking to somewhere else, essentially. And build
a park. There's no room in Anaheim. That's a complete rumor.
Disney has announced that they're looking into it. No, Disney's confirmed that it's a possibility. I forget what it's called. Like Disney and I forget what they're Disney and Beyond or something like that. Don't be surprised if one of those parking lots becomes a park.
As long as they don't take anything else.
No. It's not like they're going to plow over Fantasyland and build Avatar.
This isn't a Disneyland podcast, but I think I've brought it up multiple times that Bugs Land was my favorite land in all the Disney parks practically, and it was a place where I never had to say no to my kids every ride they could go on.
Uh-huh.
It was like the Honey I Shrunk the Kids that used to be at Hollywood Studios.
Oh no, it was better than that.
Well, it was like that to give people an idea who'd never been. Like you shrunk down to the size of the bug. Everything was oversized.
Yes,
there was a water play area. It was so
but they were actually, unlike the one in Hollywood.
So if they were going to get rid of anything else for a panda, like, I would have an adult temper tantrum.
No. They're not talking, like I said, they're not going to plow over Tomorrowland and put in Avatar Land. We are talking, if this third park comes to fruition, it could very well be a part of that. It would make more sense in one of the parks in Asia, because Avatar... as well as it does here.
Very popular, yeah.
Incredibly popular in China and Japan. So it'll make a hell of a lot of sense to build one there. And if they do build like another, I don't know if anything's coming to
I mean,
Animal
I know
Kingdom.
Things I'd like them to do. Your water play area you bring up every year.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's a lot of room there, though.
I think because they don't have any animals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what about like bioluminescent fish?
So actual fish, as opposed to like fake animals.
They don't have anything in there. It's animal. They need a trail. So how about a little aquarium with some bioluminescent fish?
That would be cool.
And it would fit the theming.
That would be cool. That would absolutely
night,
be cool.
So,
but I think if there's any kind of additions with new movies, it's likely to be part of new Avatar lands coming to other parts of the world, not necessarily.
I have to admit, I haven't seen the new
Kingdom.
Movie yet, so I don't know what the addition.
Somehow is. Got through it. I did watch it.
You did watch it.
Yes.
So, is there anything so different that they could add?
There's more water involved. I mean,
there
there's more underwater kind of stuff.
So the aquarium would fit.
There's an important critter that's sort of like a. the Pandora version of a whale that befriends one of the characters and stuff. I mean, you could do that, and I managed to get through the movie. As you can tell by the way I'm saying that, I'm not a big fan of Avatar. I didn't really care for the first one.
I thought the first one was fine.
It's okay. I just didn't get the...
It was really pretty.
Yes, beautiful done. And this one is just like that. I will say it's better than Rebel Moon, but that's a different topic for a different day. What a god-awful movie. Anyway, okay, so that answers that one. Then Brian LaFrazia, who is a big Yankee fan like me. We talk about the Yankees a lot on the Twitters. What do you think is the fate of Dinoland? Will Dr. Seeker stay? And would it be a good idea to remove all dinosaurs, especially since kids love dinosaurs? The answer to the last question is I agree with you. Dinosaurs should stay in Disney's Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I think it fits. And I know I would, my preference would be that they kept Dinoland, even if it's just Dinosaur, Restaurantosaurus, and the Boneyard. They could get rid of Chester and Hester's. I know that sounds sacrilegious. And get rid of certainly that, the Triceratops spin stuff. And get rid of the Nemo show. Take that whole section out if you want. Yeah. And build a new land there. Have like a smaller Dino Land in the South America over there. That would be my preference.
I hate to burst your bubble. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Dino Land's going bye-bye.
At some point. They're going to turn Dinosaur, because it's an easy conversion, into Indiana Jones.
All right.
That takes place in South America.
It does?
Yeah.
It does? I thought it was more Asia than the one in California.
Isn't the Crystal Skull in South America?
I don't know. Well, whatever. I mean, you could easily easily make it, yeah.
You could.
It could. See, that's the stupid thing. I wish they would build a whole new... I don't mind, unlike other people, no IPs and all that kind of stuff. I don't mind an Indiana Jones ride in Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Fantastic.
Forget, no. That's not what I'm saying. I would not put that one in. I'd build something new, something different. Maybe an Indiana Jones log flume.
I think the Crystal Skull was in Peru, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So, it'll be the Crystal Skull version.
Yeah. I guess that's true. All right, anyway. So I think the answer to the question is Dinoland's going to go away. So is Dr. Seeker. Maybe they'll find some way to, put like a little Easter egg in there about Dr. Seeker somehow. I don't know. But I mean, I think he's gone. However, you could still buy t-shirts at our website for Dr. Seeker.
There is a Dr. Seeker.
That's pre-you. That's one of the originals from the
website. Yes, that one's actually very good.
That still sells every once in a while. We still sell a lot of those.
It's buried in there. Maybe I should try to...
Reorganize?
it doesn't let me just move them around.
It doesn't? Okay.
I have to remove and then re-add a design.
All right. Let's do two more questions, and then we will call it a day or a night. What does Disney need to do? And this is, from Chris. It's CJ Keating on the Twitters. What does Disney need to do to make Animal Kingdom a nighttime park again? Well, just keep the things that were, Harambe, the nighttime safari, the Tree of Life Awakenings, Pandora's fantastic at night. You could easily do it. I mean, there are two things to me. Do you have an answer to that?
Well, I think it helps if there's a solid nighttime show.
That was what I was going to say. They need to replace the Rivers of Light thing.
They got rid of Rivers of Light, which I know a lot of people didn't like it. I loved it.
I thought it was fantastic.
Gorgeous. They could throw in my idea with, not this year, but the previous year for our wish list.
Yeah.
The water lanterns.
Yes.
Where they could send out water lanterns every night with people, and then it's a nighttime event.
Mm-hmm.
They could sell lanterns. So
they could use it.
It's really pretty if you've seen it before.
I mean, I've seen
it. They do it around the country, and it's just gorgeous. They could totally do it. But yeah, have some sort of nighttime event or show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if they brought back Harambe Nights. But
that's a good one. For those of you who don't know, Harambe Nights was back on one of the anniversaries for The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
They did a different Lion King show. The park was open. It was a hard ticket event.
Yeah.
But you don't have to necessarily make it a hard ticket event. Maybe make the Festival of Lion King a different show at night. Have, you know, different food and like stands and stuff out there and that kind of stuff, and bring the Mickey and Minnie, you know, thing, and different entertainment on the streets of Harambe. That's one thing that I think they would need to do, is bring in some more.
Bring back Buridika.
Or whatever. Yeah, Buridika for sure. That would obviously be what
it
I would
fits
want.
In
but
your campaign.
But, yeah, right. But, you know, something. You know, some other form of, you know, live entertainment there would also help. So I think that's what they would need to do. But they have the capabilities. You got Pandora's Beautiful at Night. You can, you know, start doing the safari, the nighttime safari again. You do need, like you said, you do need a kind of day capping, like, a, you know, at 9 o'clock at night. This is the show with the River Lights Theater, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, whether it's, you know, the Your Lantern thing. I've had ideas of like a show about the Disney dragons, or, you know, somehow incorporating drones because they don't want to do fireworks, you know, something different to draw people in. I think that would be the key, is the nighttime show. Last question for this episode, and then we will answer the rest next week or 2 weeks from now. At 365 Days of Disney, what are the best foods at Boma? I can answer this quite simply. There's two things for me, and that is the Boboti, which is sort of like an African shepherd's pie, kind of. And they do different soups, different nights, and the soups are always fantastic. So that would be my two favorites for Boma. Have you been to Boma for dinner recently?
I haven't been to Boma recently.
Okay.
Last time we went was in... It was pre-pandemic.
Yes, it was.
For sure.
Pre-pandemic,
so
for sure.
I don't know what they're still offering, being it was a buffet.
Right. It's back to being a buffet. It's a buffet.
People love the Zebra Domes.
Zebra Domes are always popular. That's true.
That are there, so...
And I have, you know, this is probably a hot take, but I am not a big fan of the Zebra Domes. They're not my favorite. I usually don't get
like
any.
Like little cakes?
A little bit, yeah. I'm not a cake guy.
You don't like cakes?
So,
yeah.
So that would be my response to what I like. And there's usually like meats and like they do different spicing.
I don't know that I've ever been for dinner. I think I've only done breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
When we went, I think it was just breakfast, right?
Oh, when you and I went? Yes, it was breakfast,
yes. I think we did the brunch.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
So, okay, this is another thing we'll have to...
Yeah, we could do that. I like Boma. I mean, it's been a while since I've been there for dinner. But I've been there many times, you know, probably at least a half a dozen times for dinner. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not the biggest buffet fan in the world.
Neither am I.
Because I don't really...
I think that's why we only went the one time.
Yeah, because I don't really, especially breakfast buffets, I don't really eat enough to justify the price.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to our recent trip to the other Disney, and we did the breakfast buffet, but that was like a character.
It's a little different when it's characters you're paying
one,
for.
For the little one, he wanted to go see them, but
and he's getting to the age now where that in 2 years from now he's not gonna be into characters.
So,
right.
So we were like, oh, okay, we'll do it for that. But you're right. The amount of money we paid, I remember thinking like, well, I've got to eat this because we paid this much money.
Yeah, I stuffed myself on waffles and eggs. But
and that's the problem with the really overpriced buffets, is you feel like you want to get your money.
Yeah, I much prefer, like if I had a choice, I would rather go to Sanaa or Chico if I was dining at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, just because I prefer the sit down.
It is really, really popular though.
It's extremely popular.
And I'm missing out. I need to go for dinner.
We could try it. I mean, it's good. I mean, there's no question that it is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the best buffet in Disney World. I'm trying to think of one that would be better.
Oh, hands down.
I can't think of anything that would be better. I mean, Tusker House is pretty good, but Boma's better. Yeah, we can go. We can go. We haven't done that in a while, so I haven't done it in a while for dinner, so we can definitely go. But those are my favorites, the Boboti and the soups. The soups are always very good there, so give that a whirl.
Don't they make that African peanut soup?
Sometimes
really
it's like
good.
A squash type of soup.
Yeah.
The flavor spectrum at Boma, I mean, even when you're trying like the grilled meats and stuff like the steak, it's spiced differently than, you know, you go to a steakhouse here in Vegas or, you know, wherever you're living. So, it is good. We should definitely go next time we're at Disney's. Now I want to go to Boma. So those are my favorites. Anything else about Boma, or should we wrap it up for the night?
I think let's wrap it up here, and
we do have
we'll answer the rest of the questions. Thank you, everyone. We got a lot of questions out of this.
We did. So, you know, I got at least, we went through, I don't know, about 15 questions. We got about 15 more or so. So we'll do that. So if you didn't hear your question tonight, or on this show, excuse me, I keep saying tonight, who knows when you're listening to it. If you didn't hear your question, we will get to it. Don't worry, it'll be on the next episode. So again, I direct your attention, go to the show notes, click on the link for our TeePublic store to get all different cool designs and stuff like that. But unless there's anything else, I would thank you for listening. Thank you for, like Christina said, thank you very much for the questions. Whenever we do listener question shows, we get a lot. I remember one time Dave and I had like 60 questions and we had to do like 3 or 4.
Wow.
It was crazy. So this was very good. So I appreciate it. And you know, we appreciate all of you guys listening out there. So I like to do listener questions every once in a while to get a little bit more interaction with the listeners. So thank you. So for Christina, I would like to say kwaharini and go well.